You're killing me, Larry!
Larry. Fucking Larry.
Larry from That Larry Show.
For men with balls.
Take off your pants.
Larry, get into bed now.
Larry.
Larry.
Larry. Larry.
Come on, Larry. Larry.
Larry. Sigmund Freud, who was a nut, famously asked, "What do women want?" He had no answer. Here was this famous shrink, the most influential of all time. Shouldn't he have had the answer? But what do men want? Many women will say that men want women, and that is true. But in fact, women are a subdivision of a broader male desire. Adventure. And some women can certainly deliver that. Plenty of women also crave adventure, but probably not so much as men, or maybe adventure of a different type, huh? The female sense of self-preservation is much stronger than that of men, so their adventure requirements do tend to be less extreme. When you see somebody doing some insane shit in a YouTube video, say, some stunt that nearly guarantees maiming or death 99.9% of the time, it's a dude, and probably a dude in his late teens or early 20s, when we are certain that we're indestructible and immortal. Women probably never hold those opinions. They have a finer-tuned sense of mortality and the cycle of life. The indestructible fantasy starts young. When I was about 2 or 3, I was obsessed with Superman, and I was pretty damn sure that if I could just get enough altitude or a sufficient running start, I could launch myself into flight, same as the Man of Steel. So one Saturday while Mom was at the hair salon, or as they called it back then, the beauty parlor, and Dad was home minding me and my older brother, I decided it was time to put my Superman abilities to the test. So I climbed onto the couch, and then onto the arm of the couch, which was the highest point in the house, other than the kitchen counter. I was pretty sure that if I sprang from that perch with my arms extended and my fist balled, I could fly around the room for a while. So I stood balanced on that sofa's arm, went into a deep crouch, flexed my knees, and gave it my all. The rug below was not Persian or cut pile. It was Cecil, basically a rough straw mat over a hardwood floor. And when my face hit that carpet, it skidded for quite a ways. It was like kissing a cheese grater. I wailed like a banshee. The old man came running, picked me up, tried to patch me up as best he could. But soon it was time to pick up Mom. Ooh, I still recall the expression of horror on her face. I looked like I'd lost a fight with a jaguar. She blamed Dad, but it was totally not his fault. The rest of that Saturday was pretty tense. In point of fact, it was my fault and my boy toddler's quest for adventure. Adventure and achievement are pretty closely linked in the male psyche. For me, the adrenaline rush is insufficient. I always like to feel as if I've come away with something, too, even if it's just a kick-ass story. There are two kinds of adventure. The organic or serendipitous adventure, huh? Unplanned, unsupervised, with an unknown outcome. Those are, hands down, the best, the most satisfying. They can run the gamut. Might be some knockout chick you meet on a plane or anywhere. Or a long drive down a desert road that has no name. You park the car and walk into the hot, sandy void, just to see what's out there. Maybe it's when you stroll into a waterfront dive bar in a strange city and wonder if you'll be leaving on a gurney or even conscious. You know you should do an about-face and leave, but something makes you stay. These adventures beat the ass off of the inorganic, artificial variety. Those you generally pay for. And the person or corporation facilitating that adventure tries to be damn sure that you don't wind up injured or dead, so they can keep selling fabricated adventures. And that just undercuts the entire premise of adventure. Even if you're very active, say a zipline or parasailing, unless something goes terribly wrong, you know what the outcome will be. Which really makes it nothing more than a glorified ride at Disneyland. What's completely missing from those are the main ingredients in true adventure, the unknown and a degree of risk or danger. True adventures don't have to be some death-defying feat, though. The first steps we take as infants are a hell of an adventure, or the first dive off a couch. Either can result in a nasty faceplant. When I was 4 or 5, I desperately wanted to ride a two-wheel bike like my older brother. My old man, God bless him, found somewhere, I don't know where, he found this two-wheel bike, and the wheels, they must have been maybe 10 inches, 12 inches maximum. So tiny, it was red and ancient. It had been hand-painted several times without the benefit of sanding. The finish was pocked like the surface of the moon. God knows how old it was. The tires were not even pneumatic. They were hard, solid rubber. So just riding it was an adventure in ass punishment. Open spaces were in short supply in Queens, but a few blocks away was Newtown High School. It was a Gothic masterpiece. Cupolas and spires with sidewalks that were like triple the width of normal sidewalks. So that was the good part. The bad part was that the school was surrounded by a wrought iron spiked fence, and crashing into those bars was not pleasant. Once we arrived there, Dad sat me on the bike, let me feel the balance. Then he told me to pedal as he held onto the back of the seat. I don't know how the hell he stooped low enough to grip that seat and run alongside, but he did. When he figured I'd attained a measure of gyroscopic balance, he'd give it a mighty shove, and away I'd go. But soon I'd lose control and veer into those iron bars. Boom, bang, ouch. Scraped knees and contusions. A lesser, wussified dad would have whisked me home for first aid. But my dad looked me over and said, "You're okay. You can do this. Hop on that seat." And though there was blood running down my shin and an egg swelling on my forehead, I sat on that bike to give it another go. He launched me again. I steered straight ahead, maintaining balance. Soon I was heading for a corner. Ooh, what to do? Would I roll into the street and traffic or turn left and go around the corner? While wobbling, I made the left and realized that not only was I now in somewhat control of this two-wheel bike, I was bucking along at a good pace, feeling self-generated wind in my hair, and I was alone. Dad was way behind, around the corner and out of sight. I felt a mixture of elation and fear. I was doing what I wanted to do, but there was no safety net. If I wiped out on the iron fence, it'd be a while before he would arrive. I breezed through another long straightaway. This time, I was confident enough to do a little sightseeing. Noticed the lengthening shadows of a late summer afternoon. Peach-colored clouds above the green copper spires of that ancient building. The sound of those hard rubber tires bouncing over the cracked sidewalk. It was intoxicating. It was exhilarating. It was freedom and adventure. I rounded a second corner, then a third. And that's when almost all the fear evaporated, and it became pure thrill. Had there been a thought bubble over my head, it would have said, "I got this." Rounding the fourth corner, there was Dad waiting for me, with a 1,000-watt smile on his face and his arms open wide. I knew he was proud of me. He had given me what all boys need. Nope, all kids, boys and girls. And to be clear, there are only two varieties. He had given me mobility, adventure, achievement, freedom, and a smidge of danger, all in one magnificent experience. As vivid in my memory now as when it happened long ago. After that lesson, I began to tear around the neighborhood like a maniac. Soon I was popping wheelies, doing skids and fishtails. Then I began to ride with no hands as I stood on the fucking seat. One day Mom was walking home from the supermarket and some stranger stopped her and asked if she'd seen the little boy from the circus. That was when I streaked past them standing on the bike seat. At home, she gave me hell, but I kept doing it anyway. The old man was probably laughing up his sleeve. I've done a lot of shows about adventures. Adventures with my mobster pal, Tony Spumante, when a dentist almost killed me and Tony wanted to kill him. That was titled Larry Cheats Death, episode 11 in the February 2017 tab. In fact, perhaps half the catalog of this podcast are about one adventure or another. There were tamer but no less enjoyable ones with my dad, as in episode 35, Dogs Are Better Than People. You can find that one in the July 2017 tab at thatlarryshow.com. Once the adventures stop, life kind of does as well. And you don't have to be old for that to happen. You might be locked in some job you hate, or a relationship that isn't only unfulfilling, but maybe toxic and stultifying. Or maybe it's neither of those. Maybe it's complacence. Going along to get along. Killing time while time kills you. The old axiom says, stuck between a rock and a hard place. Sometimes we get stuck between a cushion and a mattress. It may be more comfortable, but it's just as deleterious as the rock and the brick wall. I've certainly found myself in such a location, career-wise. You know, it's not your calling or your bliss, but the money's pretty good. And isn't that what it's all about? The answer is a resounding, deafening no, especially if you're single and have no dependents. It's been a long time since I opened the mailbag here, so this might be a good time. And I've got one from Kevin, who lives in New England. Here's what he has to say. Hey Larry, been listening to your show for a year, but I've binged on every past episode while commuting to the job I hate. I've noticed that you sometimes refer to working jobs you disliked, but stuck with them anyway, to your regret. Many people would love to have my job. I'm 37 and work in the financial sector. The money is great. I have the American dream, I guess. Love my family, got a nice house, three cars, a boat, and no money worries. But I never imagined I'd spend my life doing what I do. It's not who I am. This might be where you expect me to say I should be a movie star, first baseman, or quarterback, but truthfully, I could not tell you what I'd really like to be doing. I only know that I hate what I am doing. My father is similar, a great provider, but always loathed his job as a sales executive. Any advice would be greatly appreciated. By the way, I got two Lutfa stickers and a key fob. They're kind of inspirational. Thanks and take no shit. Kevin, thanks for listening and supporting the show, and welcome to the Lutfas. But with three cars, why do you only have two Lutfa stickers? No, just kidding. Don't be too tough on yourself. Jillions of guys work jobs they hate, and once they have a family, as you do, well, making a change can be risky, maybe disastrous. I stayed at jobs I hated, and I was still single. How crazy was that? Jobs that are absolute torture are actually less dangerous than the ones that are tolerable. If you're in daily pain, you're going to pull a plug. But it sounds like you're in the classic golden handcuff situation. That said, unless you change course one day, you will wake up and realize you've pissed away vast chunks of your life just chasing a buck. Or the epiphany might come via a cardiac episode. Stress and unhappiness probably shorten lifespans more than anything else. No amount of toys or exotic vacations are going to counterbalance the lack of fulfillment you're experiencing. So you have a two-part challenge. First is to find a bliss that's also financially rewarding. That's also a common dilemma. People might be middle-aged or beyond, and they're still trying to figure out what they want to be when they grow up. There was a guy at the gym a while back. He was a school teacher. Loathed it. He bitched about his job constantly. One day, he was giddy when he announced he was going partners in a restaurant with a friend. Red flag number one was when the friend turned out to be someone he knew for, like, 3 weeks. Red flag number two was when said friend also had zero experience in the restaurant business. Not good. Clearly, he had some glamorous, nutty, movie-like visions of himself, Guy Fieri or Emerald, running around in a toque showing Hollywood celebs to their favorite table. When in fact, most restaurant work is mopping floors and scraping gunk off the range hood. Worst of all, they were building the place from the ground up. Soon, his laments about the restaurant made his teaching complaints seem like trifles. The state bureaucracy of permitting and codes for the kitchen alone could have made anyone go postal. After a while, the guy disappeared. I wondered if he'd stroked out or blew his head off. Then, he returned to the gym. This time, he was broke and trying to get back into teaching. So the way to proceed is with caution. Maybe set up a timeline to transition into another career. 18 months, 2 years might be a good mark. Maybe try some moonlighting in another line of work so you can get a taste of it, if that's possible. Most towns have a chamber of commerce, and they're always desperate for people to attend their luncheons and rubber chicken dinners. Check out a few. You're certain to bump into people in a variety of small businesses, and you can pick their brains. Everyone's stir-crazy after 2 years of pandemic shit. A good way to find clarity is a change of location, not just zip code, but a couple of time zones or more. If you can square it with a wife and kids, I'd recommend getting away solo. Go hunting or on an extended fishing trip or to a dude ranch a la City Slickers. Just get away from everyone and everything for a while so you can find your center and what makes your spirit take flight, or at least extricates you from the quicksand in which it seems you're mired. We tend to absorb and adopt the norms of the people around us, and geography absolutely plays a part. Growing up in New York, the customary outlook on life was go to college, get a steady job, even if you hate it, and do it until you retire or die, whichever came first.
Hey, why do you think they call it work? It's a paycheck, not a playcheck.
When I split for California, some people were very encouraging, while others were the opposite.
What are you going out there for? Lotus land, nah, fruits and nuts? What are you going to do for a living? Sit cross-legged on a beach and chant your fucking mantra?
I knew they were just envious assholes and forged westward. I never regretted it. And it all began with an unplanned trip out west when I was just 18. That one was chronicled in episode 15, Larry's Road Trip to Destiny. So Kevin, get out of Dodge, even if it's only for a week, and do it solo. Travel is an elixir, and you just may find the inspiration you seek. Write back and let us know how it's going. As time goes by, we tend to throttle back on the danger and risk factors of our adventures, but for me, if there isn't an element of the unknown, it's not an adventure. Which is why I'm seriously thinking of buying a small red bike with 8 or 10-inch wheels, having Moose tow me around town on it while I'm dressed like Cochise and screaming obscenities incoherently. Actually, that would make me kind of average around here. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. Stop by the show page for hundreds of other episodes. Click a subscribe button while you're there. And if you want to help me keep the lights on and fight commies, click the PayPal or Patreon buttons. Or there's a post office box that gleefully accepts donations. Between episodes, you can follow the show on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and No Agenda Social. You'll find links to all those also on the show page at thatlarryshow.com. There you can also behold and acquire show merchandise, like those wonderful Lutva magnetic stickers. And there are still a few of those retro motel-style key fobs available. Check them out. And if you like them, ordering instructions are right there on the show page. My friends, I hope wherever you are, and whatever you're doing, that you're extracting some adventure from it. It needn't be pricey or exotic. If you put a little effort into it, you can make almost any experience an adventure. I'll see you next Wednesday or thereabouts. And until that time, have fun and take no shit.